Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live on this Martin Luther King Day. I'm sure there's very many reasons to celebrate Martin Luther King Day, but the one I'm celebrating is that there will be no traffic on my way home. Is that shallow? Okay, I already know it's shallow. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. And it's in addition to being Martin Luther King Day, the day that we commemorate all the many triumphs in the civil rights movement. And there are many, and they are genuinely triumphs, and I'm sure triumphs ahead as well. Many of those triumphs to be made in our own hearts. Maybe that's particularly what Martin Luther King Day is about becoming people who love one another and respect one another as children of God and don't find all kinds of shallow reasons to exclude one another. Okay, I'm going to give in to the temptation, including the reason that a person might not be born yet.
Well, if we believe in civil rights and human rights, we should apply them to all human beings. And so that's why I think for today's show, it'd be nice to talk with people who are pro-choice, who disagree with the idea that the unborn ought to have human rights. People have disagreed about human rights in the past. Though I will say, Cy, when they have disagreed, the people who said these humans don't have the right to life, they always turned out to be wrong. Yeah. So I do wonder... Seems like it would.
There's a pattern here.
It seems that way. So, but I'm happy to have a conversation with people who would disagree with that. Who identify as pro-choice.
That's Trent Horn. Trent is an apologist here at Catholic Answers. The author of a lot of books, including Persuasive Pro-Life: How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issues. And one of the things that we get to do, Trent and I, every now and then together, is to just have a pro-choice hour where only pro-choice people can call. We're not going to become pro-choice this hour. That's not what that means. We are pro-life people. We are Catholic people, and we're not ashamed of it. But we also love the opportunity to have conversations with pro-choice people. And so if you are a pro-choice person, this hour is for you. A pro-choice person would be a person who believes that at some point in the gestation of a child, that it is a mother's choice whether or not to eliminate that child. So we'll count you as a pro-choice person, even if you call up and go, "Well, I don't know if I'm pro-choice because I only believe in abortion in the first trimester," or some other language like that. Yep. You count as a pro-choice person as well, and you're welcome to call and tell us why you are pro-choice. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. And coming up, we've got Walk for Lives. I say coming up, but some have already happened, and more to happen this month. Have you ever been to a Walk for Life?
I have. I've been to the one on the West Coast as well as the East Coast. And then this weekend, I will be at the Pro-Life Summit in Washington, D.C., sponsored by Students Life of America, Live Action, a lot of other pro-life groups. So I will be speaking there. And so if you're in D.C., I think they got a few seats left. Go check out Pro-Life Summit. You can look it up online and see me and a bunch of other speakers there as well.
Have you ever been confronted by a pro-choice person who might, yell at you or...
At the walks?
Yeah, any of that.
No. Well, it's just there's usually only it depends. I was only in San Francisco for a little bit. They usually have more kind of hardcore counter-protesters. In D.C., there's 600,000 pro-lifers, and there'll be five pro-choice people.
Yeah.
And then when the news shows up, it's here's five pro-life people and five pro-choice people. And I'm all right, that's cool. I usually encounter pro-choice protesting more on schools that I speak at or universities and things like that.
Yeah. And then there's always the press trick I notice this a lot with the March for Life or the Walk for Life. They try to find the grumpiest looking, basically man about my age. Let's see if we can find an older man, not a young. Let's get him looking as grumpy as we can, and that's our photo.
That sounded like a great title for a movie or album, Man About My Age. Oh, yeah. I think you need to hang on to that one.
Okay.
Or for an autobiography.
Well,
the picture of you really
grumpy.
I've always been
a man about my age. Yeah, always. Yeah. I have always been a man about, well, for a while I was a boy about my age. 888-318-7884. If you're a pro-choice person and you'd like to air your views out with us here on Catholic Radio, broadcast all around the world, this is your opportunity. I will try to be respectful and have a good conversation with you. That's our promise to you. 888-318-7884. Shall we go to the phones?
Let's do it.
Thank you for everyone who is a pro-choice person who calls. If you're a pro-life person, hang on for another day. We like to give the pro-choice people a chance from time to time to just have the hour to themselves. And the number, 888-318-7884. First up is Connor in Lancaster, New York. Connor, why are you pro-choice?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. So I'm calling kind of for my own, you know, question, but also this is a school project that I'm doing at St. Francis High School in New York.
I'm calling in with
a couple of questions here.
Okay.
So the church believes that life begins at conception, correct?
Everybody does.
The church does not. Okay. The Catholic Church does not have a definitive position on when the soul enters the body, and it doesn't make pronouncements on scientific questions. But the church does teach that upon conception, a human life is present. So we ought to value that life. Though for the answer to the scientific question, I would defer to embryologists who would unanimously agree that upon a successful fertilization, a new genetically distinct human organism comes into existence. But the church doesn't have a scientific pronouncement on that, and it doesn't have a definitive statement on ensoulment. The church just teaches that there is a human life present in the womb, and we ought to respect that life.
Okay. And do we know, like, does the church have a view on what exactly happens to that embryo when it is terminated or killed?
The church recently, the International Theological Commission, back in, I think, 2007, released a document saying that we can have hope for children who die without baptism. So the church, once again, does not have a definitive position on what happens to children who die without baptism, whether they are children in the womb, human embryos and fetuses who die of abortion or from a natural cause like a miscarriage, or children who die shortly after birth but are not baptized. But the church teaches that while it's not a guarantee that these children will be in heaven, it's something we can reasonably hope for because Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me," and God is merciful. So it's something we can certainly place our hope in God and pray for them that they are in heaven with Jesus. But it's not something that is definitively taught by the church.
Okay, Connor, did you feel like your homework is done now?
Can I ask one more question?
Is it on the test?
Maybe. Connor's in the class right now. Yeah, he's got his earbuds in.
He's just are we helping you cheat on the test right now, Connor? Is that what's happening?
It's homework.
At St. Francis High School? I am so ashamed.
No, we had off today. It's 7 o'clock where I am.
Okay, all right. What's the last question?
Sure.
So, if the embryo doesn't have a certain consciousness of their own life, then I know that their argument is usually like the potential for life, like an embryo is dependent on the mother to like carry it to term and then have it grow up and, you know, eventually become a conscious being, but in that sense that the embryo doesn't have like consciousness of their own life, is it really like that bad if they might go to heaven? Like, isn't that what we're all striving for? And if the embryo is terminated early and if they go to heaven, isn't that like the best possible situation for them?
Well, let's give an example. We know that someone, a baby who is baptized, if that baby were to die after baptism, that child would definitely go to heaven because they have no sins that would inhibit them from going to heaven. But that would not justify killing babies immediately after they have been baptized, because the right to take human life is something that belongs to God alone. God is the author of human life. Only he has the right to give and take human life. We do not. And so we circumvent his divine authority if we were to take innocent human life for our own reasons, even if we thought it was for the better of that individual so they could go to heaven or something like that. That's simply not within our right to do that, and so it's gravely evil to do that. Because life is a gift from God, everyone has a right to the life that God has given him or her, and we do not have the right to take that from them. They're an innocent person. So, Connor, I hope that's helpful. And if you have more questions on this issue, I would recommend my book, Persuasive Pro-Life. And I think that would be a helpful resource for you if you'd like more answers to these questions.
Going forward, the rest of the program is for pro-choice people, not Catholic high school students trying to get their homework done by Trent Horn. But if you are a pro-choice person, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. And whether you're pro-choice or pro-life, you're welcome to our free ebook that we have out for Sanctity of Life Month, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, Pro-Life Answers for Everyone. The way you get that book is you just go to shop.catholic.com and you click on the banner and you get yourself a free ebook, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, Pro-Life Answers for Everyone.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
The Church has 2,000 years of wisdom to share on what it takes to live life gracefully.
We're so overwhelmed by how much our faith has transformed our marriage and family especially. We want everyone to experience the incredible gift that the Catholic vision of life and love really is.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. Tomorrow morning, 10 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, in studio with Trent Horn. Trent is an apologist here at Catholic Answers, a longtime pro-life advocate and speaker, and he's the author of Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issues. Today, we are inviting pro-choice folks to call. If you are a pro-choice person, 888-318-7884 is the number. If you believe that in a right to choose abortion at any stage during pregnancy, we'll count you in that pro-life category, and you can call 888-318-7884. We have a studio full of fine young women, and they all look okay. They look, yeah.
That would also be another good band name.
A studio full of fine young women?
Or fine young women. You remember Fine Young Cannibals?
I do. Yeah, I do remember Fine Young Cannibals.
There you go.
I don't remember liking them, but I can't remember any of their songs. Maybe they were great. But these young women are from a pro-life homeschooling group, and it's super exciting to have them here.
Yes, it is.
So I'm going to have to ask you to be better with your answers than you usually are.
I could turn it. I could also.
There's a whole generation of pro-lifers at stake here. So
I will turn it up to 11 in the words of Spinal Tap. I'm getting great 80s references in here.
Yep.
Fine Young Cannibals,
Nigel,
Spinal Tap. But this one goes to 11.
Our first caller is an anonymous caller. And you're welcome to be anonymous if you want. That's fine. You just got to be pro-choice to get on with Trent today. The number again, 888-318-7884. So anonymous, why are you pro-choice?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
I actually don't have an official position on the issue. I just have a couple of arguments that I think might warrant the pro-choice movement. So basically, my overall argument is that a woman has a Second Amendment right to defend herself against her reproductive system.
Anonymous, I'll give you credit. This is, I hear a lot of different arguments, but this is a first timer for me. I've never heard this particular one before. The Second Amendment of the Constitution says a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. She has the right to use a gun against her reproductive system. I don't quite follow.
I'm not talking about like that. So I guess I don't know how I can describe this. I believe that the fetus in the zygote is a person and a human and has a right to life.
Okay.
I'm just trying to get to like the effects of pregnancy, like what it does to the mother, like
I see.
There's something called the naturalistic fallacy. And, you know, I know that pregnancy is good for the child, but it may not be good for the mother.
Right.
If that makes
sense. So it seems what you're saying is even if an unborn child is a person, pregnancy causes, it causes at the very least, it causes discomfort and significant bodily changes in a woman who is pregnant, pain, discomfort, and risks of complications. And so it sounds like what you're saying is that a woman has the right to end the life of her unborn child so that she does not have to take these risks or endure any of these things associated with pregnancy. Is that what you're saying?
I guess more or less, yeah.
Okay. I don't, that's not an argument that I would find persuasive. And what I do sometimes, Anonymous, with these arguments is I like to swap out an unborn child and put in a born child and see if the logic would work. So let's say, for example, we had a situation where a mother was snowed in with her two-year-old and they had food, but the two-year-old is sick. And the two-year-old's presence with the mother could cause her to become sick as well. And she would suffer the same kind of symptoms you'd associate with pregnancy. Or let's say they're, you know, in any other kind of situation that you have a mother with her two-year-old child, the two-year-old causes the mother to become sick. The only way for the mother to stop being sick is to kill her two-year-old. Would she be justified in killing the two-year-old for that reason? What do you think?
No, that's wrong. Yeah.
Okay. So then for me, I would say that because an unborn child is just as human as a two-year-old, that reason would not justify killing the unborn child. So that's why I think it's helpful to make these analogies and comparisons to pregnancy. Pregnancy, of course, is unique. It's a rough analogy. There's nothing, the closest we have to pregnancy would be the example of conjoined twins, also called Siamese twins. The correct term is conjoined twins. But I think that case is helpful to see that we don't have the right to directly kill another person to ease our own suffering. I think if that applies to born people, it would apply to the unborn as well. Is that helpful for you?
Well, yeah, but that's absolutely right. I agree with you on that.
Okay.
But I guess I would like to ask a question. I was
sure.
Watching a debate on in the Texas Freethought Convention in
Austin, the Dillahunty debate, right?
Yeah, that's actually a really good debate. One of the questions they brought up there was the miscarriage question. So if abortion is murder, and contract killing by the mother, according to Pope Francis, then is a miscarriage considered to be involuntary manslaughter?
Yeah, I would say that miscarriage, there are multiple causes for why people miscarry, and we don't entirely know. But I would say that if we treat abortion as unjustifiable homicide, that doesn't mean, just because we say that the direct killing of a human being is wrong, it doesn't mean that the natural death of that human being is always the fault of a parent. For example, there are parents, we can agree that parents should not smother their three-month-old newborns to death in a crib. We can all agree that that's wrong. But sometimes children die in their cribs for reasons we can't explain. It's called sudden infant death syndrome. So sometimes those children die naturally. And it's not necessarily the parents' fault. It's just that our lifespan is, God gives it to us, and we don't know what length it will always be. Sometimes it may be a very long lifespan, or maybe a comparatively short one. But if a child dies from natural causes, it's usually not the parents' fault. The key here is that we would say that in protecting the unborn, we're just making the modest claim that it should be illegal for someone to directly kill these children through a procedure like abortion. So I hope that's helpful for you. And I tell you what, Anonymous, if you stay on the line and give us your contact information, I'd be happy to send you my book, Persuasive Pro-Life. You may find some more helpful answers there. So thank you for calling.
Anonymous, please do that. Please hang on the line. Marie will get to you as soon as she is able. 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. It's pro-choice.
Why?
Yes. Why are you pro-choice? I was going to say pro-choice open forum, but that's not what it is. If you're pro-choice, you're free to call.
I like the questions that it makes people get clued in. Here's what we're asking. Why are you pro-choice?
Yeah,
a lot of times we just say you're pro-life, I'm pro-choice, and we go at it. we don't stop to ask, well, why are you pro-life? Why are you pro-choice? That could be an interesting episode as well. Some people are pro-life for actually not great reasons. In my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, I talk about pro-life arguments that are not great, actually.
Like, what would be a wrong reason to be pro-life?
Wrong reason to be pro-life, I've heard this argument before. You know, abortion is wrong because you might be aborting the next Beethoven.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a kernel of truth to that, but abortion is wrong even if a child doesn't grow up to be a prodigy or a famous person like Beethoven. And conversely, the argument can be turned on its head. If abortion is wrong because you might be aborting the next Beethoven, could it be right because you might be aborting the next Charles Manson or aborting the next Hitler? No, we don't. A person's value comes not from what they specifically may do in the future, but their existence now as a valuable human being. They're not some kind of potential person. They're a person with great potential. And we value them just because of what they are, not because of what they might be in the future. So that's why I might be one right there.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number 888-318-7884. If you are a pro-choice person and you'd like to pick up the phone and let us know why you are pro-choice, this hour has been reserved for you. Whether you are pro-choice in a complete sense, that you think all 9 months of pregnancy and right up until, and some folks do, in fact, make this argument that right up until the moment of birth, a child, it's a mother's choice whether or not to allow the child to be born alive. Others would say, you know, the first month, first 2 months, before the first 6 weeks, if you have some kind of limit on that, that's you're also welcome to call. We'd still call that a pro-choice person. 888-318-7884 is the number. I got to go to Alex now. Well, I don't have a... I'm not going to Alex. Alex is gone. I apologize.
Gone.
We were so close there.
Do we have a question?
Well, I'll give you a question that someone gave us but had to drop off the line did drop off the line.
Right.
If a woman is raped and being pregnant will negatively affect her mental health, is an abortion acceptable? What if she feels so bad that she would possibly commit suicide?
Yeah, I think the question of abortion in the case of rape is a larger discussion to have, but I will say that if we agree that we should not punish the woman involved, there are societies where women who are victims of rape can be punished or executed. It's called honor killing. We agree that if a woman who's a victim of rape is not a perpetrator, is not a criminal to be punished, and if, even if we agree that rapists should not be given the death penalty, that's the case here in the United States and in most of the world, we don't give the death penalty to the woman or the rapist. Why would we give it to the child who is just as innocent as his mother? So I think that is on the question of abortion in the case of rape, though there's more we could say there. But the question seems to be broader than that. It's not just rape, because you could say someone could become pregnant and just have mental health issues. They could be stressed. They could have anxiety disorder. They could have some kind of mental health issue. What if this will negatively affect their mental health? I would say that we cannot justify the direct killing of a human being just because that person's life may negatively affect the mental health of someone else. For example, suppose you had a woman whose child was taken away from her by Child Protective Services for neglect and abuse. And so she loses custody of her child and she says, and she's abusive. Imagine she says, if you don't give me custody back of my child, I'll kill myself. And I'm sure there are people who feel that way when they lose custody of their children. Would we relinquish a child into an abusive situation just because someone is threatening to do themselves harm? No, we don't harm one person because another person threatens self-harm. We do our best to protect the person in danger, and a person who has suicidal thoughts is someone that we reach out to, we help, and in some cases, we have to be forcibly restrained so they don't do harm to themselves or others. And that's just a standard protocol in medicine and bioethics. And if we apply it to born children, we ought to apply it to the unborn as well.
888-318-7884, the number. If you are a pro-choice person, this hour is you. We go now to Mark. I don't have a location, but Mark, you are very welcome here. Why are you pro-choice?
Hi. First of all, I'd like to point out that I believe life begins at the moment of conception, and I would never encourage anyone to end a pregnancy. Mm-hmm. But my reasons for believing that are religious. You know, I believe in ensoulment, and I understand that some people don't believe in ensoulment. And so I believe it's a religious freedom issue and that we shouldn't change our nation's laws based on religious principles.
Sure.
And I'll take my answer offline.
Well, Mark, I would have loved dialoguing with you, but this is a perfect day for a rebuttal to this. just because someone who fights for the civil rights of others is religious, or many people who do so are religious, doesn't mean it's purely a religious issue. Because Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was also known as
Reverend.
The Reverend yeah. Martin Luther King Jr. Many of the people who opposed racial segregation were Christians, were Catholics, or Catholics, Orthodox, Jews, who marched alongside Southern Baptists in Selma. Watch the movie Selma about Martin Luther King Jr. Wonderful film. Just because many religious people are opposed to something or believe something is wrong doesn't mean that it's that the issue itself is a purely religious one. Most religious people believe that stealing is wrong because it violates the seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal. But you can have laws against shoplifting because there are principles of reason that show that stealing is wrong, just the same as there are principles of reason that show that killing an innocent human being is wrong. Many people who are religious are just also reasonable, and they recognize those principles.
If you're pro-choice, give us a call, 888-318-7884. Our question this hour, why are you pro-choice? 888-318-7884.
Everybody's favorite Catholic outer space delivery pilots return for their greatest adventure yet in the brand new graphic novel Weapons of War. Fresh from saving the solar system in The Truth Is Out There and saving the timeline of salvation history in The Big Picture, Brendan and Irk land in a magnificent domed city on Mars for what is supposed to be a simple shuttle job. But soon they find themselves caught up in a sinister assault on faith and freedom. Will Mars be lost to the enemy? Brendan and Irk's only hope for the flight is in the power of God's sacramental gifts. A totally new kind of Catholic resource for apologetics and evangelization, The Truth Is Out There series combines the visual excitement and quirky humor of graphic novels with solid popular philosophy and theology. The result is a series in which everyone from teens to adults can find accessible answers to questions about God, the soul, true happiness, and much more. Order your copy of Weapons of War today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible, Jimmy Akin's The Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the church. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Purvis.
I'm Monsignor Charles Pope.
And I'm Deacon Harold. The Morning Glory team asks, can biblical teaching change as society changes?
Tomorrow morning, 7 Eastern. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Why are you pro-choice? Our topic this hour for this Martin Luther King Day afternoon or evening, I suppose, wherever you are. For those who are not in the U.S., I always forget this, that we have these U.S. holidays, and then sometimes you got to explain them for people. But I think people all over the world know who Martin Luther King Jr. is. Wouldn't you guess that that's probably the case?
I would say if you talk about social reformers that
like he's like
globally,
Gandhi or something around the world.
Yeah, Gandhi would be another example. I think. Yeah, he's well known.
All right. So we just have a day where we celebrate Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement. And if you don't have that in Australia or in Indonesia or in Nigeria or wherever you're listening right now, sorry, you had to go to work today. We didn't. 888-318-7884 is the number here. And if you are a pro-choice person, this hour is for you. We'd love it if you would call and tell us why you are pro-choice. And we'd like to engage in conversation with you about this. It just so happens that we believe that conversation is a good thing. I don't think we're scared of your view. We're happy to just engage in that conversation. If you'd like to share it with us, why are you pro-choice? 888-318-7884. As I mentioned at the very beginning of this hour, we have a group of let me just count real quick, 87 or 89 young women here with their teachers and helpers, among them Sarah Versillo. Did you see Sarah Versillo? She's the she's the wife of John Versillo, who's the director of video here.
I think there are probably seven Sarah Versillos here. Let's if there are 89 young women here in this studio, I'm just trying to do your estimation ratio.
Yeah, well,
89 might be a bit high.
But Evelyn is a, is one of the young women here.
Yes, sir.
And she told us that the group is called, what?
The Daughters of Our Lady Little Women group.
The Daughters of Our Lady Little Women
group. Kind of a mouthful.
Kind of, yeah.
I'm going to guess there's 17.
12.
Okay.
12 girls and like four adults with us.
Oh, we're getting adults. Closer to what I said. I saw more than...
60. Okay. Close.
Are you counting Mrs. Versillo as an adult or...
Yes.
You are. Okay. All right. So, Evelyn, you're kind of the representative that your entire group
apparently,
chose.
Apparently, I am now.
I'm guessing as a member of this group, you are not a pro-choice person.
No, I am definitely a pro-life young lady. No.
But we didn't want your group to come in and not have an opportunity. So, do you have a question or did you want to make a point or did you want to answer questions on the line? Or what did you...
I don't really have any questions in mind as of right now.
Okay.
Maybe in a bit, not sure.
All right, but do you, like, I imagine at your age, I'm guessing you're probably 25 or...
Yeah, of course.
I'm not good with age, but...
I'm 15.
Oh, 15. Yes. Okay, all right.
You got the five right.
Yeah. Okay, so there are probably, you do come in contact with pro-choice people.
Yes.
And so how do you make the case for life?
Well, actually, last year, I took a speech class in my second semester freshman year.
Okay.
And in that speech class, the very first assignment we had for our first speech was to give a speech on a topic that is very controversial in the world. Yep. And you had 2 minutes to present it. And so I obviously was going to make the best of these 2 minutes and make the case for life with as best as I could, excluding religion, because I go to a Catholic private school and many kids at my school believe that the only reason why I believe in being pro-life and why life is precious is because I'm Catholic. But I wanted to make the argument that it's much more than that. It's a literal human being and just trying to defend the point and justify that it's a child inside the woman's womb, not just a clump of cells, basically. And so
were you at all uncomfortable making that argument or do you feel just...
Not actually, no.
I
was homeschooled my whole life until last year. And so I have a lot of older siblings, a lot of people in my life who have influenced me to always, you know, stand up for my beliefs. And so when I was given that opportunity in especially a safe environment such as a Catholic private school,
yeah.
I knew that nobody around me was going to specifically tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, right, right.
So obviously my teacher had my back in that as well. And when I gave my 2-minute talk or presentation, afterwards, there was always an opportunity for the whole class to ask questions. So my 2-minute presentation turned into a whole 20 minutes of me standing up there answering questions.
What was the hardest question you had to answer?
The hardest one for me without trying to keep it less emotional was somebody asked how the procedures work and why they're actually that bad and wrong. And I went down the different levels of how like it can range from being a basic pill to forcibly removing a baby out of the womb.
Did you get any questions that challenged what you said? Like saying like, what about this? Or what were some of those?
Some of the questions that I received from my fellow classmates consisted of what if they were raped, obviously, and what if the woman is about to die and she all of a sudden became pregnant with a baby she does not want? And I just had to kind of go back to my research that I had looked up beforehand and give them the legitimate numbers of the chances of that ever happening, of a woman actually being in danger of her life, and she would have to abort the baby in order for her to live.
Well, let's tease that out a little bit, because our listeners may wonder about that as well. Like, what would you do? Is abortion okay if a woman's life is in danger? We had a call, a question about that off the air just a little while ago. What if someone has a mental health issue?
Yeah.
They might hurt themselves. Well, what do you do if there's a pregnancy and the woman's life is in danger? And you're right. It is rare. It's not common, but it still happens enough where people ask, well, what ought we do in these situations? So what I recommend is I say, well, what would we do with a born child in these situations? Suppose we had a mother and a born child, and the mother and the child's life was in danger. And we can only save one of them. What should we do? I would say in those cases, it is not okay to kill the child in order to save the mother. But you could act in a way where you may not be able to save the child, but you can save the mother. And I'll give you an example of that. Suppose, like, I'm a lifeguard. And I mean, I can't be a lifeguard. I'm not good at swimming at all. I'd be like, you guys will be fine. I would just like get a little cannon and shoot a raft out to them or something. But if I were a decent lifeguard and there were two people drowning, I might swim out there and maybe I can only reach one, but not the other. So in one case, I can save one, but I unfortunately can't save the other. I would if I could, but I can't. However, it would not be okay for me to take one person and hold them under the water and use them as a flotation device to save the other person. That'd be a bad lifeguard if I did that, right?
Very poor lifeguard skills.
Yeah, you can't. Now, you might not be able to save everybody, but you definitely can't kill one person to save another person. And that's how it kind of works with pregnancy. We could say you could act in a way where you can save the mom knowing you can't save the baby. The most common example would be ectopic pregnancy. So sometimes, have you ever heard of an ectopic pregnancy?
I have not.
So sometimes in pregnancy, normally the baby's supposed to implant in the uterus, but sometimes it doesn't, and that's where the baby's meant to grow. But sometimes the baby implants in the fallopian tube, and that's a problem. The baby can't grow there. There's not enough room. If the baby continues to grow in the fallopian tube, it will burst, and the baby will die, and the mother will die. There's really no way to save the baby. So what happens here is that the woman's fallopian tube has been damaged. It's now something that could hurt her and her children. And so that's, doctors can go in and remove that section of the tube. We're not trying to end the baby's life. We'd save the baby if we could. If the baby could live miraculously, that'd be great. But you can remove that section of the tube, and then the child dies as an unintended side effect, and the mother still lives. Whereas you couldn't just kill the child when they're healthy and they're in the womb for some other reason. So to summarize, if someone's life is in danger, you can do something where maybe you can only save one, but you can't directly kill one person in order to save another.
Yeah.
Evelyn, you know we're inviting pro-choice folks to call. You want to hang around while we take some calls from pro-choice people? All right. We might call on you to help us out.
All right.
Trent Horn is our guest. If you're a pro-choice person, you are welcome to call. We're all pro-life here, but we'd love the conversation. 888-318-7884. Up next is Niels from Portland, Oregon. Niels, are you there with us?
Hello.
Hello. Why are you pro-choice?
Let me preface this with saying that I'm not necessarily for or a fan of abortion, but I will say that I think everybody has the right to choose for themselves. Mm-hmm. The reason I told your screener was that in specifically this country, we don't really, from a societal perspective, take care of our fellow man very well. Mm-hmm. And so having people fight so hard for the right of an embryo to grow into what we know as a baby or a human being, we stop fighting once that baby is born. I think the fight is on the pro-life movement to, instead of put all their effort into forcing women to have children, into forcing are people, the people in charge, to take care of those who can't take care of themselves once they are born. Right. There are so many people.
Niels, let me jump in here. I have a few questions I want to drive out a little bit more what you're proposing. First, you're concerned about the pro-life movement and caring about, you're right, there is suffering that people endure after birth. There are social problems. I would say many pro-lifers do address that. There are pregnancy resource centers that help people even after birth. I used to volunteer with a place called Maggie's Place that would take in homeless pregnant women and then help them with their children after the babies were born, help them provide, employment, things like that. But let me ask you this. First, let me go to the major thing. You said you weren't a fan of abortion. What is it about abortion that makes you not like a fan of it or pro-abortion? What in particular?
Well, I understand that I'm also not originally from this country. I'm from Belgium, and in 1992, abortion was made legal in my country. Our king had to recuse himself of that vote, So they had to suspend his rule for three days in order to push that through. And so abortion at that point was made legal. Right. I think it's was 92. It could be.
Well, Neil, I want to focus in on this. Would you agree that abortion is not pleasant?
First of all, I wouldn't know. I've never had an abortion. And I know people.
What is abortion?
Abortion is the removal of an unborn organism from a woman's. The word I'm looking for the word, but
from her uterus, her body.
Exactly.
It's not just any organism, right? Because if I take a tapeworm out of a woman or a man's body, that's not abortion. So it'd be a human organism, right?
Why do we make the distinction?
Well, it has to be, if someone gets a tapeworm removed from their body, is that an abortion?
Well, earlier you said that the making the choice between whose life to save, about the two-year-old.
Right.
How about you remove the tapeworm? Now you've also committed murder of some sort.
When you kill a parasite like a tapeworm or a non-human, that's not murder. I think, would you agree, like if you step on a snail, is that murder?
If I do it intentionally, I would agree.
Should you go to prison?
I would think so. I would not do that.
Should you go to prison if you step on a snail?
I have other ideas than you on that, I think.
So yes or no? Like, do you think people who step on spiders or snails should go to prison?
People who intentionally kill anything should be at least helped with whatever urge they have.
So would that also apply to people who intentionally kill human embryos or human fetuses?
Well, there's a little bit of a difference there because a human embryo only becomes, you can humanize it the moment there's there's contact between an egg and the seed, but what makes that more human than whatever it was prior?
Well, what an embryologist, a scientist who studies the development of human beings, would say is that once the sperm and egg join together, you no longer have separate body parts. You have a whole human organism that's on a path of self-directed development. So would you agree that human beings should have equal rights no matter how old they are? Equal basic rights, like the right to life.
I don't agree with the phrasing, mostly because maybe the embryologists you talk to, or maybe the scientists you talk to, thinks that it sounds more like an opinion than a fact. If you go look in the scientific community, you will find that there is a big disagreement between when an embryo becomes or is human, or whether or not it is deemed to be human, which is why we have this discussion.
Cite a embryologist who says that a human embryo is not a member of the human species?
I can't, because I'm just a caller on your program. I haven't written a book on this.
Right. Well, I have, and I'll tell you that that's simply not true. That's just not true. If you can find an embryologist who will say that a human embryo is not an organism that belongs to the human species, then I will take the page from that book and I will eat it here live on Catholic Answers Live. If you can find an embryologist who's published with a university press who says that a human embryo is not a living organism of the human species, I will eat the page in that book live here on radio, because it can't be done. There's disagreement about the value of these individuals, but there is not disagreement about their biological identity, because that's a scientific question. But thank you for calling.
Niels, thank you very much. I hope you will listen and call again. We're happy to have the opportunity to talk with you, but we have a break schedule and I got to stay on it. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more. Why are you pro-choice with our guest, Trent Horn, right after this?
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Did you know that there's a place you can turn first that features the newest, most exciting Catholic resources, as well as a huge selection by some of the best Catholic authors and speakers on the planet? It's our online store at shop.catholic.com. All of our offerings are time-tested and apologist-vetted, and trustworthy and faithful to the teachings of the Catholic Church. And, of course, the lights are always on for your shopping convenience. It's one-stop shopping made affordable and easy. Shop.catholic.com.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
Just turned 31. Feel that I'm being called to the priesthood. And I've been attending daily Mass and just finding that falling more in love with Jesus every day and finding more opportunities to, you know, make sacrifices for Him, myself, and just allow Him to enter me more. You know, how do we fully surrender to God and to His will so that we can more clearly hear His calling?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Trent Horn is our guest. And it's the topic this hour, why are you pro-choice? If you are a pro-choice person, you are welcome to call and tell us why you are pro-choice. 888-318-7884 is the number. And we have a magnificent group of young pro-life women here who have joined us. And if you're watching on the internets, I think they're on the camera right now. There you go. You can all wave to the internet. Yep. It's great to have you here. Again, if you're pro-choice, you're welcome to call. We'd love to have a conversation with you. 888-318-7884. Let's go now to Paul in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Paul, why are you pro-choice?
Hey, I just wanted to say that I'm pro-choice because I believe that all women should have the right to their own free will and their own choices. But I wanted to argue that with you guys because I think it's good to take in everyone's insight. And, you know, maybe you guys can give me some advice on some of my own situations.
All right. Well, Paul, let's.
Well, Paul, so far what I've heard your statement is by pro-choice, I think what you mean is abortion ought to be legal. And it sounds like your argument was basically abortion ought to be legal because women should have the legal right to choose abortion. So that's not really an argument. That's just restating the claim that abortion should be legal. It doesn't really give us a reason to think abortion should be legal. And I think a good reason to think it should not be legal is because it directly kills an innocent human being. So that might be how I would reply to kind of what your first summary of your position would be.
You are listening to Catholic Answers Live, and it's why are you pro-choice this hour? If you are a pro-choice person, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Trent Horn is our guest. Trent is an apologist here at Catholic Answers, a longtime advocate for life and a person who has put himself on the line many times in that regard. If you'd like to call Trent, 888-318-7884. Trent is the author of many books. The one we're kind of drawing from today, or the one that's most relevant to today's topic, is Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issues. 888-318-7884 is the number. But you got to be a pro-choice person. You can't be a pro-life person. You got to be a pro-choice person if you want to call. I may have misunderstood something. You're saying that if I say to you that a woman's right to choose is why I think that abortion should be legal, that's a circular argument?
Yeah, Paul was essentially making a circular argument, and he abruptly left us because of particular character issues he has. But his argument is one that's common that I hear. It's that, well, I believe I'm pro-choice because women have a right to choose. Well, that's saying, what do you mean by pro-choice? Well, I think abortion should be legal. What's the right to choose? Well, the right to have an abortion. So you're basically just saying, I think abortion should be legal because women should be able to have legal abortions. It's just a circular argument. Oh. You're just saying you could justify any position that way if you just put the premise in the conclusion. It doesn't give us an independent reason to think why it should be legal. Even something like because the world's overpopulated or because people suffer in poverty, that's even marginally better. It's not much better. But it's better than just saying I'm pro-choice because we should have choice. Okay, well, nobody disagrees with that. People should have legal choices. The question is, not all choices are equal.
Well, what about the point that Paul was making before we lost him? Say you can do genetic testing that says this child will be profoundly disabled, that kind of thing. Many people are convinced that is a place where you should be pro-choice because you see a person who will be born with and experience life with great difficulties or disadvantages. Mm.
And here, what I would say is that if you believe abortion is justifiable because a child has some kind of a fetal abnormality, it could be a physical or mental handicap or developmental delay, I would just ask you, well, are you okay going down the well-worn path of eugenics, which has been done in the past? I would ask, would you justify euthanizing born children for these reasons? Do you think it would be sometimes people's IQ or physical and mental development, you can't really determine it until sometime after birth mm-hmm. in some cases. Sometimes we can't identify that a person has a developmental disability until sometime after birth. So I would say, are you okay killing a child because they have some kind of a developmental disability or an adult? Not just a child, but what do we do with healthy children and healthy adults who suffer from a disease or an illness, a pathogen, or an accident that causes them to be mentally or physically handicapped? Are you okay killing people who become physically or mentally handicapped? Well, if you are, congratulations, you're a eugenicist. And it is fair to bring up to say you're doing what America did back in the early 1920s and 30s with forced sterilizations and what the Nazis did with forced sterilizations that culminated in euthanasia and mass murder. You're doing the same thing, basically. But if you are against that, if you think we should help those who have various functional abilities and not kill them, then we should apply that same standard to the unborn as well.
Let's see if we can get another caller in here real quick before we have to go. Sean, why are you pro-choice?
I don't know specifically if it would be pro-choice. Actually, right now, it's my opinion. I'm a very strong Catholic. I discern the priesthood. My fiance actually discerned becoming a sister.
So, Sean, I'm sorry, we're just really close up against that. What about you then is pro-choice?
The classes, there's a few things that come up. Specifically, my thoughts on being a father. If I had a daughter that came to me and told me she was raped at a party, my very first thoughts are the possibility of the day after pill. And so I did a little looking once when this came up, and I looked at some images in a science book showing how when they look at the fertilized egg, as it's turning into twins, if it's a single sperm and a single egg, it's a few days after maybe that it shows the split.
Okay,
and
Sean, I think that's enough. But what about the morning after pill, though?
Yeah, let me address your point. First, when it comes to twinning, a human being exists, even though the capacity to twin comes later, you still have a full human being there who has a right to life. Now, the ethical and religious directives for Catholic healthcare services, I think it's paragraph 36 in the religious directives for Catholic hospitals, does say that Catholic hospitals can provide the morning after pill to victims of rape, provided they have moral certainty that the morning after pill will not cause an abortion or prevent implantation. So for a rape victim, you can use an emergency contraceptive to prevent ovulation. But otherwise, if a new human being has come into existence, you have a child and you have a grandchild there who need you, and you should not help your child be an accomplice to the death of your grandchild, is my response, my reply.
Thanks. Sorry we had to rush you there, Sean, but thanks for getting your question out. Trent Horn, thank you again for another very fine hour.
Oh, happy to be here, Si.
You can find Trent's podcast at trenthornpodcast.com, the Council of Trent. He's got a pro-life boot camp coming up this week. Is that right?
Trenthornpodcast.com, or check out the Council of Trent podcast. You and I doing a boot camp tomorrow on Council of Trent podcast.
And thank you, ladies, for coming in. And we'll see everybody tomorrow, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.